Tonight, as we now turn our attention to the preaching of the Word, we're going to look at the topic of seeing God in creation. And that was one of the topics that was asked that we look at this past summer. And as we begin, we'll be looking at several psalms this evening. And I want to begin by reading Psalm 19. That's one of the psalms we'll be looking at. So this is Psalm 19. Hear now the word of God. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And the Lord bless the reading of his word and now the preaching of his word. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, there's the familiar text where Paul says that we are all, every human being throughout the world, is without excuse concerning the knowledge of God, of having a basic knowledge of God, because God's eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen through what has been made. And so in that sense, when we look at creation, we are looking at God's fingerprint. We're looking at his handiwork. We're looking at the display of his power. And the psalms that we are going to be looking at tonight, we'll be looking at Psalm 19, the first six verses, and then Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, then also Psalm 102, verses 25 through 28. And in these psalms give us really things to consider of God as we look out on the created world and see his handiwork. And so the theme that we'll be looking at tonight is to consider the glory, the care, and the eternality of God in his creation. So to consider the glory, care, and eternal nature of God in his creation. So first of all, in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6, consider the glory of God in his creation. David begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." And these verses, as verse 2 goes on, day to day pours out speech and night to night reveals knowledge. It's the continual speaking of creation. Day to day, night to night, continually, a never-ending declaration of the glory of God. And Psalm 19, verse 3, it could be translated as, "Where is the speech, or where are the words not hearing their voice?" That's another way we could translate the Hebrew of that verse. And it's again just emphasizing the fact that there is no corner of the world where the voice of creation is not heard. And according to Paul, that in the psalmist here, in David, that declaration is of the very glory of God. Now, as we look at these verses, David gives as an example of this continual speech what is arguably the loudest voice of the created world, and that is the sun itself. Day after day, it rises and it sets. Day after day, it runs its circuit. You know, day after day, it rises. And when we see those beautiful sunsets, we can really picture what David is talking about of being like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Of course, maybe in our society, we would talk more about, you know, being the bride and coming out of her chamber. But here, being the bridegroom, you might think of, you know, David could possibly be thinking of a royal wedding. So the king himself being all decked out in his finest gold in robes. And it shines and speaks and proclaims its message throughout its circuit. Again, Paul in Romans 1, verses 19 to 20, this is why he says, we are without excuse, all humanity, because the creation itself is constantly declaring the eternal power and divine nature of God. Psalm 19 in the opening verses says it this way, that they declare your glory. We live in a beautiful area of the created world. And whether it's raining or whether the sun is shining, it is still beautiful. And there are multiple hikes and things that you can go on, camping that you can take part in. You can drive and go to a park and sit on the beach and watch boats going up and down the Sound. You can do all these things in this area that we live, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous country. And many of you know a former son of this congregation, Dr. Jim Carson, and his father was once the pastor here generations ago, and he went on to be a pastor in the RPCNA as well. And when he found out that I was coming here, that I accepted the call, this was back east, he had a conversation with me, and he said that I'll find that the area is so beautiful that ministry-wise, you're often competing with the creation itself when it's a beautiful day. It's because it's when the summer's here, and it's like a light switch goes on, and everybody's out and enjoying the created world. You know, it's hard to, like, no, come in, sit in a church building. No, unless they're really drawn to God and want to worship Him. But the creation that we enjoy in this area, oftentimes its message just goes unheard and unnoticed. And as we delight in the creation that God has made, its purpose is for us to marvel in His glory, to glorify Him in the majesty that we see in this created world. And the reason for that and how that works is that when we see the incredible beauty of Mount Rainier, you know, glistening in the sunlight, it's to draw our attention to the fact, what God must have made this. You know, what God has the power to make such a glorious thing. When we consider the moon and the stars and the sun and our solar system and galaxy, these things are to bring us to our knees in awe of the God who created it. So as we consider God and His creation, as we consider His handiwork, one of the things that we are to do is to know that this is truly a glorious God, and we're to glorify Him. So as you consider, brothers and sisters, the creation of God, let us, in awe of Him, glorify Him. For our second point, consider the care of God in His creation. I'd like to turn with me to Psalm 8. In Psalm 8, we read, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. These verses have a similar theme to the verses we just looked at in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 6. It's a call to glorify God, crying out, how majestic are you, O Lord? And the reason for crying out in this way is David looking out at the night sky and seeing how God ordered the stars. And the language he uses, you placed these here. It's someone, when we kind of have the idea of placing something somewhere, it's not the idea of, at the end of the day, you might take off a jacket and depending how old you are, you might just throw it on the floor. You're just going to toss it somewhere. It's, if you're an adult, you do that, that's fine. That's your own home. But the I do that sometimes myself. But the language of putting, of placing, it there's a care there to it. It's something that's valuable, something where we're taking it and we're going to place it in a certain place. And that's the imagery that David is giving us of God and the work of his hands in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, these things he knows. And he knows every single star that there is out there, and he has placed it himself. These things are to elicit this praise of God in his majesty and glory, much like in Psalm 19. And these things are under his control, his sovereign care. Now, as I've just mentioned, there's a similar response. We're to glorify God, a similar response as we found in Psalm 19. But there's also a second response here. And it's in verses 3 and 4. There's a humble acknowledgement of being dependent on God. As we consider the created world, as we look out at the creation of God, it is driving us to a realization that we are not self-sustaining. That we need God's hand to care for us. And it's the language of this. It says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? When you look out at the creation, do you ever stop and think about that? Is that the thought that comes to your mind? Why does God care for us? Why is it? I mean, look what he can do. Look what he can make. Look what he has to oversee. I mean, he has the responsibility, it's been said before, of if there is one atom in all of God's creation that is spinning out of the control of God, then he is not sovereign. So every single molecule and the smallest particle in the entire universe is under the direct sovereignty of God. What are we? I mean, why is he so focused on us? But the psalmist glories in the fact that he is concerned for us, and he does care for us. We are made in his image. Now, it should be said that Psalm 8, in its fullness, points to Christ, the Son of Man. The fulfillment of Psalm 8 is seen as children cry out, Hosanna, in the Son of David. We see, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength. Jesus quotes this psalm when the Pharisees say, why aren't you going to silence those kids, Jesus, and what they're saying? So this psalm finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, but yet it also has echoes of the creation account. As Adam was the pinnacle of his creation, and he made him over all of his created world. All the beasts of the earth, all the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, he had dominion over all of it. He shows his care for us by providing for us in the created world. He provides for our well-being. He provides our sustenance. He provides our clothing. He provides everything for us in his created world. And so as we consider God in creation, in his handiwork, one of the things that we have to consider is his care for us. We can look out on the created world and see we serve a God who cares for us and loves us and is concerned with us. For our third point this evening, please turn with me to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. This psalm is really a lament. The title of it, if you read it, is A Prayer for One Afflicted When He Is Faint and Pours Out His Complaint Before the Lord. So this is a psalm for someone who is going through some deep distress. You know, if the psalm had been written in Job's day, this would be a perfect psalm for Job to sing and meditate on. But as this psalm, in many ways, is a lament of the circumstances the psalmist finds himself in, it is also intertwined with these great notes of exaltation in who God is. In verse 12, "But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever and are remembered throughout all generations." And that brings us then to the final verses of this psalm, in verse 25 through 28. "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe. They will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." Now, again, this is at the close of a psalmist who's in some dire circumstances and situations and is feeling faint of those circumstances. And he rests upon the fact of God's creation, his creating the world, his laying the foundation of the earth. These verses are quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, referencing Jesus and comparing him and contrasting him with the angels. The author to the Hebrews is pointing out this Messiah is not just another angel that was sent. No, this is someone unique, someone very special. And he says, you know, "Of which the angels did he say such and such?" Or, and then quotes this psalm, "Of old you laid the foundations of the earth." And so this "you" here is of Jesus. "Of old you, Messiah, laid the foundations of the earth, but you are the same, and your years have no end." Now, what's being drawn out here in these verses, and what I want us to focus on, is the fact that God is eternal. And we see that in the contrast that is being made with the creation. You know, as the psalmist recounts the creative work of God, and he thinks about the foundations of the earth being laid, he acknowledges that this earth is passing away. It's going to perish. It's going to wear out like a garment. God will change it out like a robe, and it will pass away. But an alternate to that, or in contrast to that, is God himself, who endures, who is forever. And so, as we look out at the created world, even a majestic mountain that looks like it's strong and firm and unchangeable, but we as Christians can realize that all these things are going to pass away. All these things are going to fade away like a garment. God is going to take them off. And we can in that understand that our God who created these things is unchangeable. He endures. He is everlasting. And it's telling that the psalmist here, in the midst of despair, this is what he rests assuredly on. That even the earth, the created world, whose foundations have been laid by God, they're going to be wiped away. They're not going to remain. But my God remains. He is sure. And in that, we gain confidence in God, in the fact that he is eternal and he is unchangeable. Because his promises will never cease. Because God is eternal, his word will never pass away. Jesus said that of his word, that the heavens and the earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. His promises are certain, his promises are sure. And we can have confidence in that, and it's all stemming from looking out at the creation and seeing how it's fleeting and it's passing. It draws our attention up to the God who made it and who is sustaining it, and how he is everlasting and his word is sure. So the very creation, by its fleeting nature, declares the unending, the unceasing nature of God, which gives us confidence in Him and what He has proclaimed to us. So, brothers and sisters, as we've looked at tonight, God in creation. You know, I hope as we looked at these psalms, we can come away and when we go out and we enjoy the beautiful creation that God has given us to enjoy and to take delight in, that we can look at that and we can give God the glory that He is due, that He has created all these things, and that we can understand His care for us and His handiwork as He has constructed this for our well-being. But then also understand that God, the one who made it, is eternal. And that we can have confidence in Him and the promises that He has made to us. And so, brothers and sisters, consider the glory, the care, and the eternal nature of our Heavenly Father as you observe His created world. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your handiwork. Lord, we marvel at what you have made and what you have shown us, what you reveal to us in the work of your hands. As the Apostle Paul says, Lord, we are without excuse because what you have revealed to us through what has been made is your eternal power and divine nature. Lord, we know that God exists, and every human being knows that you exist. We may, Lord, suppress it in unrighteousness, but the knowledge is there. And we pray, Lord, and we give you praise that you and your grace have removed the blinders from our eyes and by the work of your Holy Spirit enabled us to see the great creator of heaven and earth, and that you, Lord, have drawn us to yourself that we might give you praise, glorifying you, understanding your care and your eternal nature through the things that have been made. In the name of Jesus, we do praise you. Amen.